AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. It's been stormy this morning in Iowa, Missouri, and a big chunk of Texas. Tornadoes touched down in Oklahoma yesterday, and they had hail the size of baseballs. Emergency official Lloyd Colston in Altus, Oklahoma, said they knew it was coming.
If you were surprised, at any or all surprised by the tornadoes, the hail, the high wind, the flooding, you weren't paying attention.
Though there are no reports of injuries, there is serious damage to some power lines in Oklahoma. Do it now. That's the government telling Amtrak to install a safety system on the northbound rails in Philadelphia, a safety system that will automatically slow down trains if the engineer doesn't do it. And Amtrak says it will comply. Our Violet Ekonomova on how the system works.
The system notifies the engineer when a train is above the speed limit and automatically applies the brakes if the engineer doesn't respond. It's already being used for southbound trains approaching the curve where the derailment occurred. The federal call for immediate action puts more pressure on Amtrak, which has previously said it plans to install a next-generation system for the entire corridor by year's end.
The train derailment last week in Philadelphia killed 8 people and injured more than 200 others. A sailor assigned to the destroyer USS Farragut has died after falling from a hotel balcony in Bahrain. The ship was docked there during a routine port visit. The sailor was on liberty in an area of hotels and restaurants that cater to Navy personnel. At the Vatican,
lo ha sperimentato in modo evidente.
Pope Francis has elevated to sainthood 2 19th century nuns from what was then called Palestine, a sign of encouragement to Christians across the Middle East who are being persecuted by Islamic militants. This is AP Radio News. Republicans who want to be president are blasting Hillary Clinton, saying she ought to answer more questions from the press. Here's our Carlotta Bradley.
Speaking at a dinner hosted by the Iowa Republican Party, former business executive Carly Fiorina said,
if Hillary Clinton is going to run for presidency of the United States, she is going to have to answer some questions.
Also chiming in was Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
Someone needs to ask Hillary Clinton if she ever takes any questions. Someone needs to ask Hillary Clinton, was it a good idea to topple Gaddafi in Libya?
I'm Carlotta Bradley.
Earlier in the day, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush praised U.S. commandos who killed an Islamic State group commander in Syria, described as head of the oil operations for the militants. But he gave no credit to President Obama, whom Bush accused of allowing the rise of the militants by pulling back U.S. forces from Iraq. I'm Rita Foley, AP Radio News.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit AARP.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of McLagley in McLean, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Peter Schwartz, Vistage. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including, Peter, will you please give us the rundown?
First up is Andrew Black, who's the CEO of Navanti. Then we have Antoine Ford, the president and CEO of Enlightened, followed by Girish Jindia, who's the president, CEO, and founder of Aveshka. And finally, Kevin Jennings, the president, CEO, and co-founder of Millennium.
I'd like to introduce first Andrew Black, CEO of Navanti. Andrew, what is Navanti? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
Data analytics, operating primarily overseas, helping folks gather and analyze data from developing countries across Africa, the Middle East, Eastern Europe, and so on.
How large or how small is this company?
We got about 65 folks, been around since 2009.
And how'd you get a job with this company?
I founded it in my basement.
How old were you when you founded it in your basement?
Ripe old age of 25 years old.
25 years old. You founded this company that does, and the original vision for the company, what was it?
To gather data from hard to reach places. That many people were making important business and government public policy decisions in these developing economies, and they were doing so with very poor data.
How young were you between the ages of 8 to 14 when you began loving statistics and numbers and data and that kind of stuff?
Young. I was a little league ball player and enjoyed on-base percentages and batting averages and things of that nature. Loved watching Barry Bonds before he moved out west.
So you think that there may be some correlation between your love as a child for data and what you're doing now for a living?
Sure. An appreciation for it.
And how many hours a day do you work? No, wrong question. What time do you start with your emails in the morning?
Typically between 5:30 and 6.
What time do you get off email or stop phone calls at night?
11:30.
So you're working 18-hour days. Does it feel like work?
Not really, no.
What do you mean? Why not?
We all created companies that we love. We wanted to do this type of work for our lives. And so it's getting to fulfill, in many cases, a dream and a passion. And so why wouldn't you enjoy what
you're doing? I don't know. It's 18 hours. How were you from originally?
Central Pennsylvania.
And where'd you grow up in Central Pennsylvania?
I grew up on a farm outside of Tyrone, Pennsylvania.
So what was... I know Tyrone. What was the effect of growing up on a farm outside of Tyrone, Pennsylvania?
You learn hard work. You learn how to put in a lot of hours. You learn the appreciation for being able to build your own future.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
Two older sisters.
How much older?
6 and 8 years older.
And how'd they affect your business today? How are they affecting your business today?
They shaped my toughness, taught me how to answer probing questions, how to stand up for yourself when you're outmatched, outwitted, in all senses of the term.
Where'd the entrepreneurial thing come from?
Fourth generation entrepreneur.
My great grandfather. What was the dinner talk like around the table?
A lot of conversation about business, and particularly the people in the business, the customers around the business, the employees in the business.
You mentioned with fondness in the green room interviews your grandfather. What did you learn from him?
I learned how to take care of employees, how to take care of customers, how to be a strong role model.
You learned that from him?
Yeah.
How'd you learn that?
He shared it through stories of his wife, my grandmother, who is an icon in Central Pennsylvania for all of her good works. He shared a story very early on about whether or not we should raise prices in the company. And his point was, you know, we live in a blue-collar area, and the candy that we sell is a big part of the happiness in this area, and every single human being in this town should be able to buy something.
Andrew, you mentioned that your job is to help policy and other decision makers get the data they need in these places where it's really hard to collect data. But that's a pretty sophisticated concept for a young man. How did that come to you?
It came to me. I didn't go to it. I was getting questions. I went to university overseas, and so I immediately had an appreciation for foreign environments, foreign cultures, and very I knew I wanted to do international affairs, and my teachers continued to press me for primary data, not secondary data. And so I learned how to apply the tools of the trade, whether it's establishing research networks or gathering data on social media or localized news.
What do you like about your job?
What do I not like about my job? What I have a great job.
Really?
I have a wonderful job. But think about it. I get to help people fulfill their passion, their dream. They went to university for this, so they're now studying and learning their trade inside the company. We have employees, part-time, freelancers, full-time, that live and work and develop.
Have mom and dad ever been to your office?
Yes, they have.
How do you think they felt when they walked through the doors?
I hope they were proud.
How do you think they felt?
I think they don't, to a certain extent, they're extremely proud. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, what I do is very foreign to central Pennsylvania.
Do you think they're surprised?
And surprised that I started a company? No.
Really?
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Peter?
No, I'm independent streak from a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Are they surprised that you left the farm?
No.
And just completely departed us?
No, not at all. Not surprised at all. In fact, they probably gave me the swift kick out the door.
What's the toughest thing you've accomplished up till now?
Probably starting a company.
What was the hardest part?
Being young in a market where competitors have 20, 30 years of experience, and proving to customers that there's a smarter and different way of doing this type of work. This is new type. This is next generation technology and capability. So there's a lot of client education.
Mm-hmm. So what did mom and dad do for a living?
I'm retired.
What were they doing back then?
My mom was a housewife, and my dad was in finance.
So what did mom give you that you're using every day?
Patience and intelligence.
Patience and intelligence. How do you use patience as the CEO?
I think my colleagues here on the panel will tell you that patience is one of the more important tools in your toolkit, because you're going to face a lot of adversity.
How about dad? What did dad give you that you're using every day?
A work ethic, and intelligence and creativity.
And are you the smartest guy on the team?
Absolutely not. No, one of
I shouldn't have asked that question. I didn't mean to embarrass you on the air like that.
You're not embarrassing me at all.
What do you mean?
The measure of a good leader is whether or not he or she can surround themselves with people that are smarter and better than they are.
Wow. And I would be intimidated by that. Doesn't it intimidate you?
Not in the least.
Bringing people around you do you ask their opinions?
It's wonderful. Absolutely.
Maybe your sisters helped you out with that because they toughened you up as a kid.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Is that possible?
There you go. I attribute that to my sisters.
Any other questions here from the panel? No. What's the future of this business looking like? Is the future pretty healthy?
The future is very bright. The market is maturing well, nicely. The company continues to grow. We find new places and spaces to operate.
How do you know where to go with the business? I mean, do you talk to other people about that? Is that your idea?
I talk to everybody I can talk to. I mean, literally any human being who's willing to talk to me about this, I will speak with.
So you're constantly gathering data to constantly navigate what's the next step. You're constantly managing transition. It's not even like the business gets to a plateau. It's like you're constantly trying to move it
forward. There's no such thing as plateaus in business. Everything's changing.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, whether it's finding new customers, employees coming and going, challenges that emerge, policies change, data rights change, you name it, something's going to change.
So you're doing this for the money, right?
No, of course not. We could all do whatever we wanted with our lives. We have we live in a country that gives us the ability to pursue our hopes and dreams, and we've been gifted with talents, and we could apply those wherever we like. We do this because we believe in it.
Believe in it. Well, and it being, give me that again.
We believe that working with folks in Africa and the Middle East, we are not only bringing skills and employment, but we are also creating transparency in economies that spurs development of economies, that spurs promotion of business.
Wait a minute. You're saying transparency encourages the development of business.
Absolutely.
Well, give me that idea. I'm not sure I understand.
I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. You're an investor looking to invest in a particular company. You have capital you want to deploy.
Yeah.
You need to understand how that business operates, whether or not that business can sell goods and services in its economy. In order for that to happen, it requires a lot of data and a lot of information. Companies like ours, and there are many others that do this as well, but companies like ours help provide that transparency so that investors and companies and customers can all trade knowing one another.
So you really love what you do.
Absolutely.
It's sort of like a hobby for you.
It's much more than a hobby. It's 18 hours a day.
I guess the good thing, though, is that you don't have to go in on the weekends. You don't work on Saturdays and Sundays.
Of course I do.
Do you really?
Of course I do. Every CEO on this panel does.
Wow. So maybe if you divided the... But when you started the business, you made money right out of the box, didn't you?
No. I mean, one of the challenges of being on top is all the risk.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that you're still working 18-hour days, you're doing it 6-7 days a week, and you weren't making any money to begin with?
No.
Hmm.
It takes a while to really build a company, and part of it is, depends on the type of company you want to build.
Uh-huh. Dara?
What from your childhood do you attribute to your ability to take risks that way?
Yeah.
So I grew up in an area where work ethic is rewarded, where you can shape your future, and therefore, so long as you can measure your risk, it's worth taking a shot. As I said, fourth generation entrepreneur, so in a business risk, I understood what the risks were, so I was willing to take them. But just in general,
You're willing to take measured risks.
Well, absolutely.
Here.
Oh, yeah. Every risk must be measured.
Mm-hmm.
But with every risk comes opportunity.
So like just what you're doing with helping the development of these foreign countries is helping the investors understand what the risk is.
Yes.
Same kind of stuff, huh?
Exactly.
But that personality trait developed in you how and when and why?
My dad.
What do you
mean?
My
dad taught me what risk means. Risk isn't a bad word. Risk is just a word. It has to do with the measurement. There can be good risk. There can be bad risk. There can be upside and downside. And all of those play into what risk actually means.
That's pretty cool. What's the website address for Navante?
NavanteGroup.com.
NavanteGroup.com. We've been speaking with Andrew Black, CEO of Navante, here on Executive Leader Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleaderradio.com, and learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your business spotlight. Joining us today is Isabella Fuentes, Marketing Director at BusinessWise CPAs. Isabella, what is BusinessWise CPAs?
BusinessWise CPA supports government contractors, small businesses, and nonprofits with outsourced CFO and financial consulting services.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the marketing director.
And as the marketing director, what does that mean?
Well, I actually wear several hats. My primary role is to improve and extend the branding of BusinessWise CPA through referrals, client meetings, networking in the DC area, mm-hmm. As well as supporting current client relationships.
And what do you like most about your job?
I like the most that I don't have to be at a desk all day. I'm out and about meeting new folks and learning experiences from other entrepreneurs.
Right. What makes your organization so special in your view?
I believe our added value is that we are not just a number report kind of type firm. We're very much integrated with our clients. They rely on us for all important decisions. We help them not only with the numbers, but on the future growth of the business.
And what is it that the clients appreciate most about the company?
That they can call us and they talk to the same person every time.
Okay, and who's the perfect client?
Perfect client is small to mid-size organization looking to save on a full-time employee and as well as get the added value of the consulting.
Great. What's the website for the company?
www.businesswisecpa.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Isabella Fuentes, Marketing Director at BusinessWise CPAs. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight. This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Randy Tharp, Director of the 5-9 Group. Welcome, Randy. Randy, what is the 5-9 Group?
The 5-9 Group is an IT services company here in D.C., and we provide application solutions, DevOps, and program management for the federal government.
Mm-hmm. And what's your role in the company?
I'm the Director of Business Development.
So that means what?
So that means I'm the guy responsible for gaining new business.
Mm-hmm. And so what is it that makes the organization special in your view?
Well, the company was created out of the role that they play. It's called 5-9. So 99.999% availability is what our goal is to serve our customers.
And what do they appreciate about you guys?
They appreciate that we can actually deliver that.
Mm-hmm. And who is the perfect client in your mind?
The perfect client is one who understands that we are one of the leaders and we're the innovators behind them, and they hired us for a reason and they let us do our jobs.
And what is it about the work that you enjoy most?
Well, the work we enjoy the most is because it's on high availability critical systems for the federal government. For example, DHS or Census Bureau, managing these databases are very important to the taxpayers and to America, so we take that very serious.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say that the clients get from all this work? Where's the value in it for them?
The value is being able to count on an industry leader, on a contractor like us, to get the job done and be available 24/7 to keep things going for them and bring solutions that matter.
That's great. And you got a website?
We do. It's www.59group.com.
Thanks, Randy. We've been speaking with Randy Tharp, Director, 59 Group. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. You can hear the show again at businesstalkradio.net.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Peter Schwartz-Vistage, and we'd like to introduce Antoine Ford, who's the president and CEO of an organization known as Enlightened. Antoine, what is Enlightened? What are you guys doing?
Enlightened is a technology company located and headquartered in Washington, D.C., focusing on system integration work, big data analytics, and cybersecurity, and some management consulting.
And how large or how small is this organization?
It's about 150 people. We started in 1999.
And so you were one of the co-founders of it?
Yes, I was.
And how old were you when you co-founded this business?
Well, we started the company at about 36 years old, and we started planning about 5 years before that.
And you say we, so it sounds like you knew your co-founder in a prior life?
Yes, we met my co-founders when I was a sophomore at George Washington University, and he was a freshman.
Where are you from originally?
Well, originally from Washington, D.C.
From Washington, D.C.?
Yes, I am.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have a younger sister who is served in the military.
So what did you do to your younger sister when you were kids?
It was interesting because my younger sister looked up to me a lot, and therefore I had my first employee. We had a great time. She would listen to me. My parents had a mom and pop upholstery shop on 8th Street in Washington, D.C. And every day after school, we went to my parents' business. And at my parents' business, that was our motto. That's the only thing that we saw was you go to school and you go to your parents' business.
Go ahead. How'd that affect you?
It served as a model for me because although other kids talked about their parents' business and organizations, I talked about my parents' shop. And my model was your parents own their business. That's what you do.
So tell us you told us a story a little bit earlier about what you and your sister did in your parents' store. Why don't you tell our listening audience?
Other people would come into my parents' business and to look at their furniture and get their furniture reupholstered, and they'd bring their kids, and their kids would come upstairs and play with my sister and I. At that point, my sister and I decided that we would have our own little company selling our toys to them, and that's how we made money, because that would allow us to sell our toys to
their kids. Except you told me that the reason you decided you were going to sell toys is because your sister had more toys
than you. Yes, she had more toys than me, and it was made to increase my profitability.
And did you split the profits proportionally, or were they equally split, even though there were her toys that got sold?
We did split it equally, because she would tell my father if we didn't.
Oh, I got you. All right. So what did you learn from that experience with your sister that you use every day now?
I think we learned that there's always opportunities that I use, because kids, when they came upstairs, they liked the toys. We said, would you like to have them? They said, yeah. Do you have a quarter? Great. And so we looked at opportunity.
So you learned about sales and marketing and opportunity as a young kid.
Very much so.
Did your mom and dad's business ever struggle?
They did. Again, it was a mom and pop shop. And one of the things that they did was when they did struggle from time to time, because they were heavy on building relationships in the community, their whole focus was do a good job and people will recommend you.
So you were aware that they were struggling from time to time?
Not really. You just kind of noticed that every now and then there was some struggle. It got harder.
Yeah.
But your parents have a wonderful way of hiding that from their kids.
So difficulty and struggle is just not a problem for you?
No, I grew up in the inner cities of Washington, D.C., so growing up here, particularly in the neighborhood that I grew up in, you saw it every day, but my parents wanted more for me, and so they although I was born here, they were raised in the South, and so they come from Southern traditions of very hard work on a farm.
And how'd that affect you?
From my perspective, because they drilled into me that you always had to do more, growing up in school, as an example, if you get 6 A's and 2 B's, they thought, could you have done better with those bees? And I said, yes, then it wasn't okay.
How old is this business?
15 years.
Did your parents ever get a chance to visit the business?
In the beginning. My parents have passed now, but I was very proud. In 2006, the Washington Post did an article on the company, and my parents had an opportunity to get interviewed, and that's probably one of my proudest moments, and certainly theirs, because all the hard work they had poured into us, particularly growing up in inner cities. And as they became more successful, they saw their hard work pay off.
What came out on that article?
The article was, they did a whole year on what it meant to be an African-American man in business in Washington, D.C. So the Washington Post did this study for a year, and they talked about, was it different being an African-American male in Washington doing business, particularly on technology services. So it was very interesting because they followed us for a month everywhere we went.
What did your mom and dad talk about in the article?
They talked about how their early roots in South became a part of me, and how much they were, it was important that they saw the results of what they put into us.
How'd you feel when that article came out?
It was probably one of the most proudest moments of my life, because I was above the fold in the Washington Post and it was good news.
What'd your mom and dad say?
They were happy. Mom cried, dad just smiled as his way. He was always very cool, very candid about, he wouldn't show a lot of emotion, but if he said good job, you know he
was. And how about
was,
your sister? What did she have to say about that article?
She was in the Air Force at the time, so when she got a copy of it, she was shocked because she was away for most of my early career. And so for her, it was like, oh my God, you're on the Post and it's great.
Other questions here.
So you decided to start a business with a partner.
Yes.
That was very intentional.
Yes.
Why?
One of the things I noticed as in my career is that people had gaps in who they were. And I'm a very aggressive person. I'm a person that likes to plan, but I'm a person that will take certain risks. And sometimes you need balance. And so my partner is a very calculated person, a person that will say, well, have we thought through these things? I'll say yes, but I think we can do it. And so he adds balance to me.
So this is about the absence of ego?
Yeah, we have to drop ego. We used to actually even have on our every meeting an agenda, communicate and listen.
How do you guys make the tough decisions?
We fight a lot because one of the things we realize is that there's a higher goal that we have. It's not my way or his way, even though I'm the CEO. But we're looking at what is in the best interest of our customers, and let's make sure we debate this enough so that there's a greater answer than either one of us could have come up individually.
Debated enough. So you think you can come to an answer by talking?
Talking, fighting, walking away from it for a while, studying, talking to other people. We will often go and really talk to other individuals and even our mentors.
Tanya?
How did you know that your partner was the perfect fit for you? Were there certain qualities that you were looking for going into this relationship?
Well, because we went to college together and we had already experienced a lot of great, we started an organization while we were at GW that actually gave a scholarship. By the time we were senior, we gave a scholarship to a freshman at that point. And so we had already gone through starting organizations together. We had already gone through a lot of events, so we knew how to work together. We knew how to hang out together, and so that was important.
Dara?
You took a little bit of a circuitous route to get there. You worked for other people for a while before you began this business. What was the tipping point? What were the catalysts to deciding now was the time to be the entrepreneur?
That's an excellent question. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I understood that there were things I needed to learn, and there were mentors and people in my life that I wanted to attach to me. But at one of the companies that I worked for, they restructured and reorganized, and they moved people to another city. And I didn't want to move because I knew I wanted to start my business in this area, being a government contractor. But I realized that when they moved people, then they laid them off. And I realized, wow, what happened if that was me? And I said, I really need to make this decision, because it was stressful not being a part of creating what I so desired and having my own company.
And you had that confidence as if from an early age with your parents running the store?
Yeah, I think the confidence really came from them coming from the South, coming from Washington and starting a business. And my mother used to always tell me, you cannot say the word can't.
You can't that was a say rule. The word can't.
Yes.
So your mom gave you a clear sense that you can.
Yes, very much so.
And has that helped you in business?
Very much so. Even during, example, even the government shutdown, I testified to Congress on what the impact to small businesses, and so we need to let them know that.
The website address for Enlightened?
Enlightened.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Antoine Ford, President and CEO of Enlightened, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight.
This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining me for this segment is Doug Kay, who is a principal with a firm called Offit Kerman. What is Offit Kerman, Doug?
Offit Kerman is a full-service law firm in the Mid-Atlantic region with offices from Philadelphia all the way down to Tysons Corner, Virginia, where I work.
Right. And you're a lawyer with the firm?
I'm a lawyer with the firm.
What practice area do you specialize in?
I mostly do work in commercial litigation, although I also do work with in doing criminal defense and personal injury, anything that gets me to trial.
Anything that gets you to trial. Well, why do your customers appreciate you?
I think they appreciate me because I am a careful and sympathetic listener, and I try to offer concrete solutions to their most vexing legal problems.
Well, give us an example. Do you have, without mentioning specifics, a recent example of where you were really good at this? How about your favorite client up till now, without getting into too particulars there?
Well, I represented a fellow who was in a commercial lease, and the landlord was determined to make him pay more than he should have been paying. And we had to go to court, and we had to go all the way through trial, and the client really appreciated the effort, and we got an excellent result for the client. And that was very satisfying, and since then he's been talking me up all over town, so I can't thank him enough.
Yeah. What's the best part of practicing law for you?
I would say that it is taking people through difficult circumstances when they think they don't have any options and trying to find a good solution for them.
Right. What's the website address for the law firm?
www.offutkerman.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Doug Kay, who's the principal with Offutt Kerman. This is Peter Schwartz, and that was your Business Spotlight.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Mark Cohn, founder of Cohn & Burnett, a law firm. Mark, welcome. What is Cohn & Burnett?
We are a law firm that focuses on trusts and estates. So we do wills, trusts, powers of attorney, estate planning, and estate administration.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the founder and the senior partner.
So what does it mean to be a senior partner?
Well, it means that in our case, I'm the thought leader, the visionary, the one who tries to figure out where we're headed. I'm not the managing partner who runs the day-to-day operations.
Okay, and what makes Cohn & Burnett so special?
We are, first of all, focused on taking care of our clients and just on their estate planning and administration. And I think we're one of the first firms in the area to introduce a fixed fee for doing estate planning.
Interesting. And what do they really appreciate about you and the company, your clients, that is?
You know, the clients tell me that they just love the experience. They are very comfortable and confident that their needs are being met here, and they enjoy working with us.
Hmm. And who or what is your perfect client, if you will?
Our perfect client is anybody who cares about what's going to happen to them when they can no longer take care of themselves or their family.
Mm-hmm. And what is it you actually enjoy most about the work?
You know, talking to the clients. That's the part. I could turn over all of the work to other attorneys here, but I hold on to the first part, which is meeting the clients, talking to them, getting to know them, getting to understand what they need and what they're looking for.
That's great. What's the website for Cohn & Burnett?
CohnAndBurnett.com, all spelled out, the A and D in between there.
Thank you, Mark. We've been speaking with Mark Cohn, founder of Cohn & Burnett. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. My co-host, Peter Schwartz, Vistage. And we'd like to introduce Girish Jindia, who happens to be the president, CEO, and founder of Avishka. What is Avishka? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
Well, we work for DHS, Department of Homeland Security, working everything from policy planning, preparedness, to cybersecurity, analytics, big data, emergency preparedness.
Uh-huh. Is this the only company you've ever started?
I've been co-founder of two other companies, Advanced Technology Incorporated in the 70s and Integer Corporation in the early 90s.
How large or how small were those businesses?
Each of the first two businesses were well over $100 million a year.
Uh-huh. And this one? How large or small is this one?
This is about $2 million a month, about $25 million a year right now.
Uh-huh. So you're growing this one now?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
India, New Delhi.
And how old were you when you came to the United States?
I was about 12.
Uh-huh. And you came with your mom and dad, and you told us an older brother?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And how long were you here? How long were your parents here for?
About 4 years.
Uh-huh. And what happened to you? You decided to stay?
I decided to stay. I just finished high school here.
Uh-huh. And why did you decide to stay, considering your parents were going back to India?
This is always the land of opportunity, and uh-huh. I wanted to have an opportunity to do something good.
How did you know it was the land of opportunity? I mean, when you landed at the airport, was there a big sign that said that, or how did you get that?
I read all about it in the books and, I guess, newspapers in India.
Was that prior to coming here you read about the United States?
Yes.
So you were looking forward to it?
Yes.
Why?
Because I wanted to be able to do something on my own.
So you knew from a young age you wanted to do something on your own.
Yes.
How young were you when you started doing something on your own?
12.
Give us an example of what you did.
My very first job was delivering the Evening Star.
Uh-huh. Now, this is, you're from a foreign country, and, you know, were you playing entrepreneur in India?
No, I was not.
So how'd you know what to do?
I think I just followed my own mind.
Uh-huh. What'd you learn from that experience delivering the newspapers that you use every day now? And considering you've been involved with a couple businesses that were very successful, over $100 million.
First and foremost, how to talk to people. Secondly, most of my brothers and sisters have an Indian accent. I was able to develop more of an American accent by speaking to the natives here.
Mm-hmm. So you that's interesting. So you're talking about... Wait a minute. What was your role with these other businesses? What was your title with these other businesses?
My title was CFO.
CFO. So the major job of the CFO is to keep track of the money, right?
That is correct.
Uh-huh. But earlier you were telling me that one of the most important lessons you learned in business is what? Keep the customers happy.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And the reason being is that no customer will pay you money unless they're very happy, unless they're getting the service they need and the products and what they contracted for.
Should the CFO be worried about that kind of stuff, though?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So you think about that kind of stuff.
Well, why not? Because, again, when we sign a contract with a customer, first and foremost, they want to make sure their problems get solved. They could care less about my problems. They're caring about their problems.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You built some substantial businesses, over $100 million, more than one time. And I thought the whole idea with businesses, you know, you don't have to worry about the customer. Go find another customer. Why worry about the last customer? Because you're a big business. You can go find the next one, right?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Because if one customer is unhappy with you, after that, the word will spread around and no other customer will want to do work with you.
So you're telling me as the CEO of this company and the CFO of previous businesses, you really worried about what the customers thought, huh?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. In fact, most organization charts put the CEO at the top. I put myself at the bottom. Customers at the top, the employees that support the customers next, and then I put myself all the way at the bottom.
I got you loud and clear. Dara?
You were about 16 years old when your parents moved back to India.
Yes.
How did taking care of yourself and independence at such a young age impact the ability to start a business and the leader that you are today?
Think of alternatives. Never have one plan in mind. Always have more than one plan ready to go, because first plan or first alternative never works out or rarely works out. So have alternatives and be ready to implement them. Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious about what's it like for a 12-year-old to get off an airplane and come into such a crazy country as the United States from such a different place in India?
Well, first and foremost, I was here with my parents, so it was not coming into a hostile situation. It was coming into, you know, with family, and obviously there were other people that my parents knew, so that it was not a...
Did you know the language?
I knew a little bit of English, but not as fluent as I am now.
Uh-huh. What was your experiences like as a young boy in school?
Very good, because I got a chance to learn about the culture here, the people here, and what made people tick. Learning about the puritanical, ethic, about working hard and making sure that each and every person can determine who and what they can be.
Katie?
So what point...
Oh, that's good.
At what point between age 12 and 16 did you realize you were going to stay here?
Right after I got here.
And how did you know that?
How does one know anything? It's just that, you know, you felt comfortable in an environment. You know that you can achieve what you want to achieve based upon your own hard work and mm-hmm. your own attributes as opposed to other attributes.
Garish, how important is instinct in business?
Extremely important.
Yeah, but you're the CFO. I thought you'd do things by the numbers. What are you talking about, instinct's important?
Well, instinct is important from the perspective that understanding what other people's needs are.
How about the spiritual guidance? Where does that fit into a business?
Spiritual guidance is important from helping you make the right decision. In every aspect, analytics can tell you what may be right, what may be wrong, but what feels right, ultimately, you have to do.
You mentioned that you know, your decision to stay in the United States, your mom was on board, but your father was against it. What? How can you relate that to the statement that you just made? And what was the relationship like with your father?
Oh, very good. The only reason my father felt that I was too young to stay, that's the only reason. Otherwise, he was supportive of it as well.
Peter?
So you knew instantly when you get off the plane or shortly thereafter that you pretty much wanted, this is the place you're going to stay, and you chose an Indian name for your company.
Yes. And actually, I asked my wife, I had three attributes for her. Number one is I wanted to begin with A, so that way alphabetically it would be in the beginning of the line. Number two is I wanted to be a Hindi word, which could be pronounced by Americans. And number three, have it mean something with what we were going to be doing, which is around the intelligence and cybersecurity area.
Peter?
So you can credit some of your heritage for your business success today?
Absolutely.
Tell us about that. What do you
tell
mean?
Us about it?
Well, from a heritage standpoint, you know, respecting others and learning from elders and taking care of the people around you, always making sure that what you have, you first take care of others first and then yourself.
You really believe that, though?
Yes.
Give me an example of that.
When I started the company, we set aside one-third of the stock for employee ownership, and for which the only thing they have to do is work hard and make the company valuable. I don't ask them to put up money. I ask them to put up their sweat.
Wait a minute. You're telling me you started a business where you didn't have to give away equity, where you put the money up, you put the time up, you did the risk, and you did this anyway.
Yes.
Because?
Because one person cannot do anything. It takes a team. It takes a village, to use an expression here. And if people believe in what they're doing, I don't pay them top dollars. Mm-hmm. I pay them a medium wage. Mm-hmm. But yet, if we can build a valuable enterprise, mm-hmm. everybody will benefit.
Mm-hmm. What did Mom and Dad do for a living?
My dad worked with the government, and he was a senior administrator.
Uh-huh. How about Mom?
Mom was a housewife.
So what'd you get from Mom that you're using every day that's been helpful in growing these businesses that are $100 million?
Follow your dream.
Your mom taught you that?
Yes.
And what's that have to do with business?
Has everything to do with business, because if you do not have a dream, then you can't achieve what you want to achieve.
How about Dad? What did Dad give you that you use every day?
Hard work ethic. As an example, when he was young in India, he would walk 5 to 6 miles to work every day.
Did could you financially retire if you wanted to?
Yes.
So why don't you do that? Don't you realize the American dream is to go to Florida or somewhere else and retire and sit and watch TV when you're 62 years old?
No. I think the American dream is to keep giving back to what made you what you are today.
Uh-huh. Do you give back to any charities or anything like that?
I do.
Like what?
Way back, I guess, back in the 80s, my neighbor was Joe Gibbs.
Uh-huh.
I think coach of the Redskins.
Yeah.
And he started a charity called Youth for Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we were big contributors to that.
Why'd you do that?
Because as much as I tried, you can't take it with you. Although it was believed in our old culture that money can be taken with you when you die. But after exhaustive research, I've learned that that cannot happen.
Uh-huh.
So you might as well, you know, share it with folks that maybe not as fortunate as
Girish,
you are.
Girish, do you have any kids?
I have three daughters.
Uh-huh. Who wears the pants in the family, you or your wife?
I think I do.
And you have three daughters.
Yes.
Real quick, what's more difficult, being a CEO or being a father?
Being a father.
I figured that. What's the website address for Avishka?
Aveshka.com.
Aveshka.com. We've been speaking with Girish Shindia, who's the president, CEO, and founder of Aveshka, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this Business Spotlight.
Joining us for this Business Spotlight is Dana Theus, president of EmpowerCoaching.com. Dana, what is EmpowerCoaching.com?
InPowerCoaching.com is a really unique online and in-person coaching experience for mid-level employees who want to get on and stay on the leadership track.
And what do your clients appreciate most about InPowerCoaching.com?
Well, what clients really get out of InPower Coaching is an opportunity to achieve professional success by developing themselves personally. So the way that they develop their own personal skills, dealing with other people, benefits them at work and in their family and their homes, and they become more of who they naturally are, all while achieving more professional success.
So who is your perfect client, and what do they need?
So a perfect client for InPowerCoaching.com is someone who really doesn't have time for professional development, but is dedicated to developing themselves personally anyway, and they look for online and in-person opportunities whenever they have time and ever have the ability to work on themselves. And they put their own program together and achieve success on their own terms.
And what is your website address?
www.InPowerCoaching.com. That's InPowerCoaching.com.
Thank you for listening to this Business Spotlight.
Joining us for this Business Spotlight is Wes Burnett, partner at Optifor. Wes, what is Optifor?
Optifor is a securities firm that integrates legal, tax, and financial and risk in order to offer optimal results for clients.
Who's your perfect client?
Perfect client is someone who actually would like to combine services, make their life simpler, and is very family-oriented. Our firm itself is very family-oriented. We love helping families take care of their own, and that can be multi-generational.
So what would a family need when they would come to you?
Typically, what they're doing is trying to simplify their personal life by trying to have somebody else worry about their legal and their tax and financial affairs, and present them with solutions rather than questions.
Solutions rather than questions. So give us an example of a good solution.
A good solution is something that results, for example, in the lowest tax bill, the greatest savings, and taking care of the values important to the family, like saving for college for children or grandchildren or something along those lines.
So what do you enjoy most about your work?
My clients. Although a second place, a close would be my staff, because I recruit very specifically people who have the same values as our clients. So we truly are very involved with our clients' lives, and they are family to us.
What about your family? Are they in the business too?
No, although there's certainly plenty of lawyers and financial advisors and so on in the business. But no, they all have their own lives, and we're very pleased, quite frankly, with that. I actually have a wife who's a teacher for 42 years, so I take a lot of my values from her.
What is the website?
Optifor.com, OPTIFOUR.com.
Thanks for listening to this Business Spotlight. Here for today's Business Spotlight is Chris Vannetti, Vice President of Contract and Project Staffing Services at Hire Strategy. Chris, what is Hire Strategy?
Hire Strategy is a D.C. Metro-based professional services and staffing firm specializing in information technology placements as well as HR and administrative, sales and marketing, and accounting and finance.
And what do clients love about working with Hire Strategy?
We take an old-school approach to staffing, and what I mean by that is, you know, back in the day before social media and email, it was all about people. And we're one of the few and last firms in this marketplace, probably nationwide, that really interviews in person, takes the time to know their candidates, and 100% takes the time to know their clients, their pushes and pulls, the positives and negatives, to make the right match. So it's truly a consultative approach.
Mm-hmm. What do employees love about working for Hire Strategy?
It's definitely our culture. And the employees that work for us, I think they would all to a person say, we believe in leadership, not management. And that's one of our key mottos. And leading people is a definite thing that we like to do, and we like to do it often.
So what does that mean for a new employee? They get to be a leader?
They can get to be a leader, but they're a leader of their own practice, of their own business. We allow them to be entrepreneurial. We allow them to make their own decisions, and we're there to help them along the way, correct them if need be. But motivation and leadership is the one way that we think that people are going to excel with us.
What do you love most about your job?
I love that I get the opportunity to be a leader and to be entrepreneurial and work with a great bunch of people and a great group of executives along with myself. So it's a great place to be.
What's the website?
The website is www.hirestrategy.com.
Thank you for listening to this Business Spotlight.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Peter Schwartz, Vistage. We'd like to introduce Kevin Jennings, President, CEO, and co-founder of Millennium. What is Millennium?
Millennium is a service-disabled, veteran-owned professional services company. Mm-hmm. We offer our clients unmatched cybersecurity, acquisition lifecycle management, mm-hmm. program management, system engineering, logistics.
All right.
Well,
you're doing a lot of stuff. How large or how small is this organization?
We're about 165 people around, right. Close to $30 million in revenue.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Virginia, actually.
How many brothers and sisters?
It's six of us. I'm the youngest boy.
Youngest boy. What was the effect of being the youngest boy on you?
Well, it was great. I got mentored and coached and beat up by my older brothers, which comes with the territory.
Uh-huh. But how'd that prepare you to run your own business, that childhood?
Well, I'm probably a little bit different from the other board members. I didn't get into the entrepreneur until I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was a little different. I enjoyed school.
So you got into the entrepreneurship later. And you had I think you mentioned earlier that your dad passed when you were young. How old were you?
My dad passed when I was 12.
So what effect did that have on the family? My gosh.
That was significant, and it brought the family closer. And there was three kids left at the house, and my mom was a single parent raising three kids, and it forced you to mature a little faster. And then my brothers took on the role of making sure that Kevin was doing the right things.
Wait. So it seems to me that what could have really happened is you really could have gone astray there, but that wasn't even in your mind. I mean, it just sounds like the family pulled together.
Absolutely.
What was mom doing for a living?
My mom was a factory worker. And so,
what kind of factory was she working in?
She worked in a garment making clothes.
She worked doing the sewing and stuff like that?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Did it for...
What did she teach you that lends itself to your success nowadays?
Well, hard work be true to your bosses and go and do what's expected of you. Uh-huh.
So I can't imagine a garment worker makes a lot of money.
Absolutely not.
How'd you guys get by?
It was tough. But and as a young kid, I never thought we were poor. Before my dad died, he was a construction worker, and he was doing good work, and it was good dollars, but it was an impact to the family.
And you decided to go into the Army at some point. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I think I'm a 60s baby, and I grew up looking at John Wayne and the war movies, and I've always loved that. And I thought the best way of doing it, well, my mom influenced me. I was a senior in high school, and my buddies were had committed early to go into the Marine Corps, and I was going to be that last person. And my mom refused to sign the paperwork because I was not 18. And she wanted something different for me. She wanted a different path. And 3 or 4 months later, I got a scholarship to play football and go to college. And I did enroll into ROTC and became an officer.
And then you had a 22 military career.
Absolutely. I had a great 22-year career. Loved it. Was tough for me to make the decision. Mm-hmm. But it was time because my wife was tired of moving.
Dara?
Sounds like your mom was a strong lady.
Absolutely.
So how did the overcoming adversity and losing a parent, family pulling together, and a strong mom make you the man that you are today?
Whoa.
Wow, good question. She instilled some discipline into her sons and her daughters, making sure we did the right things. It made you mature a little bit more by giving you a lot more responsibility than you probably had with had the dad. And it made things a lot more clear for us as a young kid, and it made you grow up a lot faster.
What kind of leader does that make you today?
I've always been a lead by example. I'm the guy who's going to be out in front and going to show you this is how it's done, and I think that's worked very well for me. Mm-hmm. And as I've grown the company, it's more inspirational. You know, you've got executives that kind of work for you, and you're trying to inspire your leaders to take the next step and do great things for not only for the company but for our customers and our clients and their
What'd you get from your military career that you're using to make and to help grow this business?
Wow, I the best decision I made was to go in the military and become an Army officer.
Why?
Leadership, how to deal with people, all different people, diversity of folks that you're dealing with every day. Also, the military helped me get to where I'm at. There's three things I take away. One is you had to build an expertise, and I tell people all the time, it took me 22 years to be able to do what I did today, mm-hmm. doing today. One, you had to have an expertise and a subject matter expert. Yeah. And I was a acquisition professional mm-hmm. growing in the military. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, you had to understand the process. How does the military work? How do you do contracting? Mm-hmm. How does that process work? Mm-hmm. And then the last and just as important was relationships. Who knew you? Who counted on you? Who knew you could execute when you were given a contract?
Mm-hmm. Katie?
You talk about, you know, as a kid wanting to be a soldier, being very patriotic, and then you crediting so much of your success today to your experience in the military. What led you to your decision to actually leave after 22 years?
It was a tough decision. It was the kids are tired of moving. I had one in high school and one's getting ready to go to college. My wife had seen so many moves, and she was tired of moving. And I kind of knew that when she didn't go with me with my last rotation up to New Jersey. So it was just you get to a point where you got to make decisions for mm-hmm. your family, and it was the right time.
Your mother said never disrespect the last name.
Absolutely.
So what does the Jennings name stand for?
Well, it's all about respect, treat people fairly, and don't go in and what she used to say is don't disrespect the last name. You got to treat people as people want to treat mm-hmm. others. And that becomes key for us.
Mark?
So what's tougher, being a CEO or being a father?
Oh, yeah. Father was tough.
Why is that?
Father's tougher. One is as a CEO, the folks listen to you and you can execute. Kids uh-huh. don't. And wife is in charge. So it's a little bit... Well, it's a little tougher uh-huh. at home. So, and for uh-huh. us, is my wife has been the great military wife, and she. When I thought about starting the business, and her point was to me is make sure you cover the mortgage. So had that going in. So and I had to go back and look at my retirement check to make sure I was good on the mortgage when I got out. And so good Army wife, and so I would always say it's tougher being a parent.
Uh-huh. So your brothers and sisters, you think they're surprised you ended up like this?
No, they're not. They knew I was ambitious. Mm-hmm. I would take the different path. Mm-hmm. And I was given a lot more opportunity than they were because they were so older. Mm-hmm. When they were coming up, it was really about going and get a job mm-hmm. and making sure you take care of yourself. The last three of us got an opportunity to go to college and do something different. So we saw a different world than they did.
Wow, Kevin, that's amazing. How about the website address for Millennium?
MillGroupInc.com.
MillGroupInc.com.
Yes.
We've been speaking with Kevin Jennings, President, CEO, and co-founder of Millennium. And Mr. Peter Schwartz, can you please give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity to
speak with?
We've
had a great lineup of guests on our show today, including Andrew Black, who's the CEO of Navanti, Antoine Ford, President and CEO of Enlightened, Girish Jindia, the President, CEO, and founder of Aveshka, and finally Kevin Jennings, the President, CEO, and co-founder of Millennium.
Well, I would like to thank my co-hosts for helping me structure the interview, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Peter, what is the website for Vistage, please?
Vistage.com.
And the website for McLadry, our host, is?
McLadry.com.
Excellent. We'd like to thank you for listening. And everyone, please have a nice day. Thank you for joining us, and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executiveleadersradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executiveleadersradio.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTLP FM HD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO.
Federal News Radio's DoD Wednesday. At 3, DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. At 4, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a smart discussion on the issues and challenges of the defense community. Plus daily DoD updates, mornings and afternoons, Monday through Friday. DoD Wednesday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This paid commercial